when it comes to protecting sensitive information and protecting sensitive data, it starts from day one, starts from the time when the developer commits a code or accesses a development environment. And that code is carried all the way to production. So fixing that when it's in production isn't always going to help if you're not protecting the developer environment and your developer code.
This is KBCast. As a primary target for ransomware campaigns,
is security and testing and performance and scalability.
Risk and compliance.
We can actually automate that.
Take that data and use it.
Joining me today is Rad Karnapitha Pillai, Head of Engineering from DevOps One. And today we're guarding your data, the protection in the digital age. And that is our topic today. So Rad, thanks for joining and welcome. I think it's been a year in the making of trying to get you on the show. So finally, we've got a hold of you. You're here. You're talking about something that's relevant. So I want to start with your version of guarding your data.
Thanks for having me, Carissa. It's a pleasure to be here. So guarding the data for me, what it means is that, you know, how organization prepare and protect their digital assets and information from unauthorized access, right? So this includes data breaches, data theft, data corruption, and being prepared and being ready for any unexpected, you know, interference into that.
So people talk about being prepared. Now, what is your view or your version of being prepared?
Yeah. So look, being prepared comes in different aspects, right? So a lot of organization, what normally happens is they don't think that they could be a target or they could be so important to someone. Because a lot of organizations have sensitive information. It may not be seen as it's important information for all of the areas, but for a person who's looking to get parts of information or potential information to complete another set of data, they're all a target, right? So what's being prepared is being ready to protect your assets, encrypting your assets, and also making sure all of your data and data encryption is up to date and you're ready against zero-day vulnerabilities.
Okay, so great points. Now, don't you think from your experience, head of engineering, that what you're saying sounds easy, right? But in actuality, it's pretty hard to do or it's not prioritized. Are you seeing lots of these things across your space and with your experience?
Yeah, you'll be surprised. Like, you know, as head of engineering, my day-to-day job is talking to customers, talking to a lot of customers and always interacting with how they are going in their journey to secure their data or secure their digital assets, right? So what I come across is a lot of them, even important organization to our day-to-day things that we do, our transactions that we do, are not really protected the way they should be. So it's a journey. Everyone is in the journey. You know, some organizations are quite mature in this, some are not, some are getting there. So it's a mixed bag of, you know, customer journey that we see.
So what about people who are sort of starting this journey? Like, how do you get to that point from your perspective? Because yes, it is a journey and it's going to be continuous. You never just sort of get there and then you're done, but people haven't even gotten on the journey. So how do we get there?
No, so that's the thing. So organizations who are starting this journey, it is important for them to understand what are the compliance requirements with the data that they're working with. Why is it important to protect the data and isolating that data, encrypting that data? And also, it's not just customer information or any other sensitive information, but it's also, you know, your developers, your application developers who are dealing with your code. So protecting code is important too. And also protecting your passwords, right? Most of the time, all these, you know, leaks or data breaches happen because someone forgot to, you know, or someone accidentally put their passwords or API keys or, you know, a certificate into a public repository or into an area that's exposed to public or easily attacked by an outsider, right? And that's how most of the data get released, so they get access to environments without any issues. So protecting the sensitive information is highly critical. So you need to have a strategy around how am I going to protect this? How does my security architecture look like? How do I move, instead of keeping all of this for last day before we go to production, how do I make sure from day one, I have a strategy around how I'm going to protect these sensitive information? How do I manage this? How do I, you know, maintain that? Not just, you know, just doing it once, but it's also continuously how I'm going to manage and maintain this information.
So you raise a great point around getting a strategy with all the questions that you just sort of rattled off there, one of which was, how am I going to protect this? So would you say that not enough people are asking these questions that you're leading with? And my answer is kind of why.
The reason is because so if you look at most organizations, they're under huge pressure to bring this application or product live so that, you know, they can start transacting with customers, or customers can consume their services, right? So there's a lot of pressure on developers, on platform teams or security teams to make it happen. So often what happens is security or this kind of stuff becomes less priority compared to going to production and going live. So they get pushed back into second phase or third phase to do that because, you know, their focus is, I need to go today, or we need to hit this timeline. And that's why most of the time, so they have limited budget allocation. So we're going to focus on getting this product quick to live to customers. Mm-hmm. Often the security aspect of that is deprioritized. So what happens is then this opens up, when you go to production, this opens up a lot of vulnerabilities into the open world, and the, you know, people who are waiting to target you, you become an easy target.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, a couple of things in there that I want to press on a bit more. Like, these things are important. Now, I speak to a lot of people on the show about each of their disciplines and their specializations. Everyone says about the priorities. So it's like, what I'm talking to, I literally was in a podcast before with someone else, and then it was a completely different area to yours. I'm like, that is so important. They're like, we got to get it on the priority. Everyone's going to say that. But what would be your strategy to ensure that this is a priority? And I get it. Of course, people want to push things live to production. We got to get things out. People are KPI'd on, you know, release dates, etc. This stuff goes by the wayside and it sort of stays there at times. How do we get it up the chain?
Yeah, no, definitely. So this is where, you know, so at DevOps One or as a consultancy, so we work closely with program directors or product owners to make them aware the implications of not considering security or the security vulnerabilities or the requirements for hardening your security posture from day one, and make sure, you know, in their priority list, in their roadmap from day one, they're considering all these aspects. So we make sure that, you know, hey, you need to focus on, you know, getting your security architecture right, getting your vulnerability scanning, your security scanning, your secrets managers. How do you protect your API keys? How do you protect PII data? How do you protect, you know, how do you give test data to your testers without compromising the PII information, all of that aspects, right? So we work closely with them to make sure these are some of the requirements that's going to come in the future for you, and start getting prepared for it so that, you know, you're not pushing this back behind the line just because you want to go to production and then you become a target to all these attacks. So it is highly important that, you know, product owners and or owners of these applications prioritize security and data from day one of their project lifecycle.
Do you think nowadays people are, and when I say nowadays, I mean, I don't know, the last even 18 months that people are, like, you know, your DevSecOps or, you know, DevOpsSec, or, you know, there's so many variations to it now. So do you think now people are, because we're in this more agile environment and obviously we're embedding security and security by design, all these elements to it, but of course there's room for improvement. But what are your thoughts with what you're seeing across the clients that you work on?
Yeah, definitely. Look, they are more aware now on, you know, what are the issues. So a lot of the customers that we work with, you know, we've been implementing a lot of solution around test data management, for example, right? How do you make sure a fresh set of test data from your production can be made available to your testers in a non-production environment, made available really quickly, but stripping out all the sensitive information of your customers so that, you know, your non-production environments or your other environments don't become a target of these attackers, and, you know, you release production information. So a lot of these solutions are focused on making sure, hey, how do I get my test data that's stripped out of sensitive information on a daily basis in large sets of data, but all delivered automatically. And at the same time, a lot of customers we work with are starting to understand, okay, I need to scan my repositories. I need to scan my code level things to make sure that I don't have any API keys in there. I don't have any sensitive information in there. And if I have something, how do I protect that? How do I monitor that nobody's pushing, you know, sensitive information into it, and then and making sure there's a solution that's supporting that, you know, to protect that information. So definitely, to answer that, you know, definitely a lot of awareness is there today, and everyone is in the journey of transitioning from DevOps to DevSecOps and or Security Ops, and making sure they have everything that is needed to protect their data. But, you know, from a maturity level, some organizations are quite matured, some are getting there, but definitely every organization should be rethinking on, you know, how they're protecting their sensitive information and understanding what are sensitive information and how do we protect that. Have I got everything that I need? You know, even though you are in an isolated environment, how do I make sure that, you know, there's a third party who's not attacking my data and getting access to that data?
So, Rad, would it be a fair assumption that, in your words, people have started to focus on guarding your data more seriously, probably since the occurrence of last year's major breaches? Like, yes, before the awareness was there, but maybe this is what's really spurred people on. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. This has spooked a lot of customers, and definitely a lot of organizations are taking security and information security seriously, because, you know, they're getting funding, getting business case approved for security tooling or security posture has been difficult, but now it became a priority for a lot of organizations after seeing all the breaches that's been happening, especially in Australia and New Zealand. There's a lot of focus on making security their priority and making security tooling. And it's not only that, right? So it's also looking at how do we enable and empower your developer communities to code securely. So a lot of the time, organizations may have all of these tooling, all of these security guardrails put in, but if your developers or if your application teams are not adapting to it or not consuming everything that you have put through, it's not going to work out. All your tools become shelfware. So this is where a lot of the work that we do at DevOps One that is enabling the developers, working closely with the developers to understand where their issues are, where they're struggling, and how we can help them go faster production in a more secure way, and working closely with the development team and security teams to, you know, bridge the gap between them and get them to work closely together. So a lot of that solution that we do, or the architecture to the golden paths to production, is all about enabling security teams and enabling development teams and bringing security teams close to the development teams and getting them to work together so that, you know, every vulnerability or everything that the developers come across are quickly fixed and they're easier to manage going forward, rather than, you know, just bold passing, hey, I found 1,000 vulnerabilities. I'm going to pass it all to security teams to go and understand and come back to me with the solution, this is never going to happen because most organizations have a very lean security team. You don't see organization having, 50, 100 people of security teams sitting there and waiting for vulnerability just to come and fix them. So what really works well is bringing the developer community and the security community together to meet this success, right?
So you said before there's issues and problems that developers sort of raise with you out of the work that you do. So what are some of those issues and problems? Is there a common trend?
Yeah, look, definitely most of the issues that we see are a lot of developers don't get told, what is the standard way of me doing things. Organizations don't define standard frameworks for them to consume because developers want to focus on, their tasks. They don't want to be focusing on, for example, infrastructure or making infrastructure available or making security available. So they want to focus on coding. They want to focus on making application available and application available faster to their customers and meeting their KPIs and so on, right? So anything that you can enable to make them go faster, anything you can facilitate to make them go faster is a win. So often what developers complain is that, either security being a roadblock for them or release management being a roadblock for them, they can't scan their code quickly. They've got blocked by, code scanners or security. They don't have enough, infrastructure is not made to them quick enough. Environments are not available to them and environments are not available quick enough to them, they have to wait for weeks to be, testing in a certain environment. So these are what we hear often, right? So what we do often get into helping them with those issues is, how do we automate this stuff? How do we bring, automated tooling to do all of this stuff for you? And how do you use AI, for example, to be a pair programmer working closely with the developer community to support those issues where, you can today ask AI as a pair programmer to help you understand what the vulnerability is and fix it. And the AI will provide you with the fix for the vulnerability and you can review that and you can push it. So it's evolving now and it's getting more interesting day to day.
So I'm curious to know, just on another thought that I had is, so now people are focusing on guarding their data, especially with the major breaches, et cetera. So what were people sort of doing before that if they weren't focused on guarding their data?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So before that, what has happened is, the organizations didn't realize that, they were operating sort of under the assumption that they were not target and their existing security measures were quite good and they're significant and that's enough for them to operate the same way they were operating. And also they often focused on, functionality or ease of use or faster deployment processes in the expense of security, right? Because they didn't think that they could be a target. So a lot of focus was put into more on the product functionality, product deployment and development is what was focused on. Now that they understand the potential risks of, data breaches and data leaks, now they're starting to put more, doing the shift left approach of bringing everything security to the today one rather than waiting for last minute.
So you have spoken about throughout the interview around handling sensitive information, especially in modern workflows like CI/CD pipelines, etc. But before we get into that, I'm really now curious what's come to my mind is people knowing what data they have that is PII. So I'm going to give an example. So like a retailer, they ask you these questions for their marketing advertising purposes. Now I get it, but they probably aren't even aware that they're holding PII. So how do people get to that point where they even know what data they've collected that they have that they store and then get to the point of, well, do we really need it? That's the handling side of it.
Exactly. No, exactly, Carissa. A lot of organizations that we talk to, right? So look, they do understand that, they're holding customer information and by law that they are they're supposed to protect that information with the standards that are given by Australian government, and they need to comply to the standards that are provided. Most organizations are aware of that, but what that means is when you collect our information into your data store, you have to make sure you have all the correct guardrails put in to protect that information. And that includes, you know, storing that data in Australia, encrypting it, maintaining it, managing it, how long you can keep that data, all of that. So they need to comply to all that requirement when they store it. But it is a really good question that, you know, to everyone should be asking, are we giving this information about ourselves to the right people? Do they have the right measures to protect the data that we are giving today? And are they capable of protecting that data without leaking it?
100%. And that's something that even, you know, certain retailers that you sign up to, it's like, oh, do you really need this? Because again, obviously with all the penalties, etc., those are things people probably need to consider. But then to sort of move forward into my original question around modern workflows, CI/CD pipelines, how does all of this now tie together? Because this is the part that I'm not sure if people explain it well. So maybe you can give some insight on that front.
Yeah. So in any part of, you know, application or any application that you access, whether that be on a mobile phone or on a website, they're all considered sort of application, web-facing application. And behind the scene, there may be multiple applications working together to provide that service. So all of these applications are developed through code, and then they need to be deployed into a platform for it to then publish to your customers, right? So, and development and deployment of that application requires a CI/CD pipeline. So in the process of developing and deployment, you're obviously going to handle a lot of important information, you know, whether that be connecting to a database, connecting to a cloud, or connecting to a payment gateway. You're going to require authentication keys, you're going to need API keys, you're going to need certificates. And storing these certificates and managing and maintaining these certificates requires certain ways of protecting them. Yeah, they need to be, you know, protected, encrypted, stored in the right way, instead of, you know, embedding them into the code, so that, you know, when you're going through the workflows of your CI/CD pipeline, they're handled in a more secure way, rather than everyone having visibility to these keys, which can be then misused for various other, you know, whether that be getting into these production level data or having access to information that they're not supposed to. So protecting everything that you're doing in that CI/CD pipeline is really important, because that's where everything starts. From the time a developer commits code into a source code repository is the start of, you know, the process of someone seeing an application being live on the internet. So that's why, you know, my original thought around this is that, you know, that's where you start your journey around protecting the sensitive data all the way up to production level.
So would you say in your experience aren't doing this? They're not incorporating modern workflows?
I wouldn't say people are doing it. There's a lot of room for improvement depending on the organization and their maturity levels. A lot of organizations now understand the reason to and the requirements to protect this information and have these modern workflows defined and configured. But at the same time, there is a large set of organizations who are not there yet and who needs to improve their security posture.
So what would be your guess as to their reservation towards, you know, modern workflows? Is it don't like change, it costs too much, it's going to upset people? Is there any sort of justification as to why people wouldn't move towards this?
Yeah, it's a mix of that, right? So it's prioritization. What do you prioritize first, whether that's security or whether that's, you know, getting your application really faster? And at the same time, you know, how many staff do you have to support to do all this work and what are their priorities and how fast they can get it. And another thing is awareness too. And having that security mindset when you're doing this type of things, because most of them aren't even aware if they don't have a security person in there supporting them in their workflow. So it's an awareness and understanding too.
So you're saying that people aren't aware if they don't have a security person supporting them?
Yeah, there is a lot of organizations that we have seen who aren't aware of these things and who haven't been doing this. Definitely, there's a lot of room for improvement.
But is there a person that works there and then they were not even aware, or there just wasn't someone even in that function?
It's a different scenario. It's more like, you know, there may be people in there, but they're not engaged in the right way to get their help, or people who are there aren't even aware of these things and not probably focusing on that one. They're either focused on various other things.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. So going back to your opinion then on people or companies handling their data or information, would you say as a whole, and let's just focus on Australia, like forget the rest of the world, right? Let's just focus on Australia. Would you say overall people are handling and guarding their data well?
Overall, I would say no. There is a lot of work to be done on guarding our data. But definitely everyone understand and they're in their journey to protecting their data. And it's definitely in progress.
So what if I bring you back on the show in a year's time? Do you think that the needle will move substantially? Or, I mean, I don't care about incremental steps as long as we're moving towards the right direction. But do you believe that we will see a significant shift in the next 12 months? Or where's your head at with that?
I believe so. There is a lot of awareness programs that are being run and you know, even the Australian government's enforcing a lot of compliances around handling PII data and also, you know, handling compliance data like financial data. So I believe every organization will mandate to some sort of compliant level and they will undertake all of the security measures to make sure that, you know, the sensitive information is protected. So I'm hoping that, you know, we will have lesser data breaches and all of these cyber incidents by next year.
Okay, I want to focus now on data masking. I've spoken about data masking on the show before, a long time ago, actually. So let's get into this a little bit more. Now, would you say, and you mentioned something earlier around like test data and stuff like that. So would you say that people aren't really utilizing data masking or they don't even know about it? I mean, I've heard various answers, but I'm keen to get your opinion on this.
Yeah. So data masking is a process that, you know, that's involved in taking a set of data and then removing the sensitive information, or, you know, manipulating the data in a way that, you know, you can't use it for, or you can't take the PII information or any sensitive information out of that, right? So there's a number of tools that offers this at the moment. So a lot of organizations are not utilizing this today. The financial institutions, they have a compliance requirement to use this. So they are all using this in some capacity. But we don't see this happening across, you know, all parts of the same organization. It may be some parts of the organizations are using and some parts are not. But this should be a standardized process around, you know, using any production level data in any way. When you are using that data, all of that data should be masked, and also there should be a data purging process involved as well. So not only masking, but at the same time, if you don't need that data, there should be a process that should be involved in purging that data and completely deleting that data. So that we don't see that happening. There's a lot of work that we do today, working closely with the organization, bringing that awareness to customers and, you know, providing them with the architecture and design around how do you manage and maintain that data masking process so that, you know, your testers or your developers have a fresh set of data that's not going to release any customer information or protected information So they still can, you know, maintain the integrity of the data to test their application and do any of their tests in other non-production environments. But releasing that data to non-production environment won't have any issues for you, or even using that for analytics or any other purposes.
So going back to people not doing it, would you sort of boil it down to the awareness? But I think if you're a developer, like, shouldn't you be aware of these things? Or shouldn't you be going out and listening to podcasts like this to get understanding of where the market's moving?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's not just awareness, but it's also, you know, having a system or having a process to master data and make that data available for developers is expensive, right? So you actually need to allocate time and allocate, you know, people in your organization to have that processes defined, have a tool that's doing this for you. And often organizations don't prioritize that. They think that it's not important because these are non-production environments. No one's really going to care about the stuff, and we definitely need this data. So we'll just take a dump from production and then let's just use it. That's often the case. But, you know, the latest breaches have proven that this is one way where the intruders get access to production level information is through non-production environments, because, you know, non-production environments are maybe easier to access because their security levels and, you know, the passwords are easier to access. So, you know, having the same level of production level data is just makes it much easier for them.
So would you say non-production environments are becoming the main target because it's easier, everything you sort of spoke about?
Definitely. A lot of conversation that we are having with customers are focused on the environment management these days. So all of them are asking, okay, how do I have, because all this time, everyone was less focused on prioritizing and managing and maintaining non-production environment. So now customers are realizing how important non-production environments are, same as production level environment. So how do I make sure these environments are identical from a security point of view and at the same time functionality point of view? So how do I create repeatable patterns of the same level of security posture for my non-production environments too? Having same level of, you know, obviously different type level of access and authentication and authorization process for non-production compared to production, but having the same level of security measures taken in non-production environments too. So there's a lot of conversation that happens around environment management at the moment.
So would you say historically, let's go before major breaches in Australia, people were sort of risking it in terms of who cares about non-production environment simply because, oh, it doesn't matter, like people aren't going to care about it, et cetera. And then maybe foregoing, for example, data masking because like, oh, well, it's not production, so it doesn't really matter. But then perhaps being unaware of the security risks attached to that.
Definitely, because non-productions are always sort of like, you know, they were less prioritized, even, you know, whether that be management and maintenance of those certain production environments or, you know, even having configuration or having the right level of support because they're expensive, right? So everyone always focused on, okay, I want to make sure I get gold support or platinum support for my production, and all my non-production can be, you know, on no support or server or something like that because it doesn't matter. It's just a test environment. We don't really care about it. We'll put less configuration to that. The specs are lowered. And security measures, no, we don't really care about it. It's just accessed by devs for testing purposes. So we don't really want to spend any time on that. But, and at the same time, you know, they dumped all their production level data into those non-production environment which are poorly configured. And those were the easy targets because they didn't have any proper security measures. Now customers are starting to realize, you know, the lower level environments are as important as production level environments, and starting to put a lot of focus into making them secure and their security pushes tighten as well.
So you said specs are lower. What do you mean specifically by that?
Oh, that means, you know, the computing resourcing, or, you know, the memory and compute power, everything that you're having, because, you know, you don't necessarily need to have the same specs as a production level for testing purposes. So, you know, they may have a lower spec on those non-production environments.
So, Rad, is there anything specific you'd like to leave our audience with today in terms of any closing comments or final thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. So one thing just to say is, you know, just be aware of, you know, when it comes to protecting sensitive information and protecting sensitive data, it starts from day one, starts from the time when the developer commits a code or developer accesses a development environment. And that code is carried all the way to production. So fixing that when it's in production isn't always going to help if you're not protecting the developer environment and your developer code. So protecting the code, understanding the problem from where it started is key. So that includes, you know, protecting the sensitive information on your CI/CD pipeline, understanding authentication and authorization to different integrations and your developers, and at the same time, having proper solutions to manage and maintain the sensitive information. Having different levels of environment signal is key. And there are a lot of standards that are defined today by a number of bodies. And so educate yourself and understand the requirements for your, you know, whether that be a telco or financial or insurance or whatever that industry is. And that way you can protect your sensitive information and you don't become a target.
This is KBCast, the voice of cyber.
Thanks for tuning in. For more industry-leading news and thought-provoking articles, visit kbi.media to get access today.
This episode is brought to you by Mercsec, your smarter route to security talent. Mercsec's executive search has helped enterprise organizations find the right people from around the world since 2012. Their on-demand talent acquisition team helps startups and mid-sized businesses scale faster and more efficiently. Find out more at mercsec.com today.